Now, listen, we've all looked at the photograph of that dress from a wedding, which, and so everyone knows it, and everyone knows, well, that people see different things. The interesting question is to move on from that and to answer why, which is why I was excited to see a press release from the Australian Science Media Centre has been released, and I read it, and I kept reading it, and I kept reading it because I thought there'd be a simple explanation. Then I get right towards the bottom, and the quote from the man we're about to speak to, Associate Professor Andrew Meather from the Department of Optometry and Vision Sciences at the University of Melbourne, says as follows. You ready? Quote, "It's got us who love thinking about colour vision all puzzled." Close quote. Can we bring up the two dresses on the screen, please, in front of me? Because you just asked me something very, 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 very interesting. I've put up the two dresses. One is the sort of original shot in very stark contrast to the dress, and on the left is the slightly washed out version.
Yes.
Say to me what you just said to me off air.
Shouldn't we all be simply looking at one photo of the dress and ask what colour that is?
Before that, you said to me,
what?
Did you not say, surely the one on the left you see is white and gold?
Yeah, indeed.
Right, because, say it again.
Well, there are two pictures of a dress, but surely the one on the left that I see as gold with white, you see as gold with white also.
No, I see that as black and blue.
The one on the left? It's clearly gold and white.
It's clearly black and blue, John. No, see, this is... So we've had this debate. So this is the fact of the matter, that you see gold and white when I see black and blue. I wonder how many people have gone to the gallows on the basis that someone said he was wearing a black and blue shirt when he was in fact wearing a white and gold one.
Indeed.
So the question now is, moving on from it, why is it so? What are the ramifications of it? Is it just that colour, or does it apply to a range of colours? What is that colour behind me there?
Red.
Yes, I think it's red too.
Oh, right.
No, but hang on.
But I don't know what you're seeing. You might be seeing something that I would call green.
Exactly. See the letter, the number 3 there on 3AW?
Yeah.
Well, we agree that that's a 3 because you get taught that something in that shape is a 3.
Yeah.
How do you teach someone that that's red? Associate Professor Andrew Meather joins us. Professor, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
So you are puzzled.
Yes, but I've had time to think about this a little bit now, and I think I'm a little bit less puzzled. But it's great hearing you guys have this this existentialist crisis and a great debate happening right in front of our very eyes.
Well, let us start with, to you, is it white and gold or blue and black?
For me, I can't make it white. I'd love to be a flipper or a switcher, but for me it's always blue and it's stained blue.
Okay. Why does John see white and gold when I see blue and black?
I think somewhere in his head he's making an unconscious inference or an unconscious assumption about the nature of the lighting conditions that were in shining on the dress at the time the dress photograph was taken.
Just one second, Professor.
Yeah.
So he's wrong.
He's making best use of the information.
Now, Professor, you're saying it's definitely blue and black and he's getting it wrong for whatever nice reason that you're dressing it up in, that you and I are right and that he is wrong.
You want me to go on record as saying that you're right and he's wrong?
No, it's not. This isn't FM. We're not trying to create false debates here. I'm trying to analyse it as a matter of science. You're saying it is black and blue, and anyone who doesn't see black and blue is seeing it as it isn't.
I've spoken to someone who's actually seen the dress under a variety of different lighting conditions, and they tell me it's black and blue. I personally have not experienced the dress as black and blue because I've only seen images of the dress, but I believe in reality, if there is a one single objective reality, the dress is in fact black and blue.
Well, I just think that you're all bull-tishing me because it is clearly... And I mean, a little bit of common sense, please, Professor. It is clearly gold and clearly white. There is no question of that, and there's no question of light or anything else. And I think Ross is trying to drive me mad by saying I'm seeing something that doesn't exist.
I'm sure Ross could have a comment about one already being mad.
Professor, is this a previously undiscovered phenomenon?
This is a really good example of what I think the philosophers would call perceptual relativity. subjectivity. That subjective experience is created in each of our own heads, and we have to make use of the best use of the information presented before us before we construct our interpretation of reality. And each of us have, and are entitled to have, our own opinions about that which we see. And it's been discussed, yes, for 150 years. Helmholtz was talking about this a long time ago.
Is your red my red?
Look, by and large, even though there are subtle differences, not so subtle differences in the way that our colour vision systems work, the number of my, what we call red cones, green cones and blue cones, differ in each of our eyes quite markedly. It seems most of the time we robustly come up with the same solutions, except if a person's colourblind. And that's what is it? Reason.
Have you ever been called to give evidence in a court case?
Yes.
Uh-huh. On this subject?
No.
Okay.
But my colleagues have.
You have had, so you said, you know, the person who robbed the bank was wearing a red jumper when another witness says, no, I clearly saw it, it was a blue jumper.
Indeed, it's a difficult thing to come to grips with, but it's a fact, I think it's a fact, that subjective colour experience is created in each of our own individual heads. But by and large, I'm saying this is the most polarising example of colour relativity that I've ever come across, and my colleagues have been commenting the same thing across the world. This is just a great example where the image has been cropped down so small and the lighting conditions are just so ambiguous that people have been divided into two camps.
Yeah, but you're addressing John here, and you're using lovely words. You're saying subjective, but you're not saying it's really, when you drill down into it, Professor, you're not saying it's subjective. You're saying, objectively, it is blue and black.
Well, that apparently is the truth of the matter, yes.
Right, and you talk about relativity. Yep. When there is no relativity between what I see and what John sees, it's not shades of, you know, talk about 50 shades of grey, how would that go? It's not shades of grey here. I'm seeing blue and black and he's seeing white and gold. It's not really a question of relativity.
Well, that's exactly what a question of relativity is.
Well, this explains something to me. A couple of years ago, when my wife was overseas, I bought her a surprise. I had the house carpeted. She came in and said, that is ridiculous. That does not match any of the furniture. And I said, of course it does.
It's funny. I suggested to another radio interviewer a couple of days ago that this is the sort of thing that fuels the battle between men and women, the discussions and heated conversations we have about the colour of things. Maybe there's a gender bias. Look, time will tell. This has been such a worldwide experiment, and data will have been collected from all over the world on thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people. Maybe some social scientists will come along now and start to say, oh, this category of person sees it this way and this category of person sees it this way, and we'll learn about gender biases or cultural biases. But I doubt it.
Professor, lovely to talk to you. The switchboard is melting, so we're going to, after this, we're going to have a chat to the folks. Associate Professor Andrew Meather from the Department of Optometry and Vision Sciences at the University of Melbourne.